This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
And good morning. Welcome to Empower the Spirit for Sunday, June 5th, 2011. My name is Doug Kelly. It's so good to have you join us today, either on this live broadcast or through the archive. Of course, Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science as part of our regular church services. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. And through these programs, we will address topics that focus on a variety of practical life skills. It's a program about enhancing the human condition, both spiritually and physically. Now, on today's program, we have it's always good. My part is compelling evidence for life after death. I'll talk about that in just a moment. We also have special guest, Reverend Dr. Frank Gaeta III. He will be speaking about Earth School. That's his topic. Some interesting things there. And we have a new feature today coming up at 12 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Eastern, right after this current broadcast, will be Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspectives with Dr. Vicki Hunter. She'll be taking your calls and offering psychic and spiritual insights for your life. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Let's get right into the topic, the first topic for this morning, and that's mind, compelling evidence for life after death. Now, for a lot of people, life after death is just a no-brainer. I mean, many, if not most religions teach that. Not all religions, I guess, teach it. In fact, I grew up believing that when you die, you're just dead, state of non-existence. Of course, that's held by a couple of different religions or a handful, but it's also held by the mainstream scientific community that is materialist. We talked about that in a previous show. But this topic today is based on the MCH Church Principle number 6. We talked about that in previous shows too, but we're going to add to it today. That principle states, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual to a higher state and plane of existence. So we're going to be talking about that and why we've adopted that belief of life after death in a coherent fashion. Now, of course, being the Church of Humanistic Science, Metaphysical Humanistic Science, we like to look at things from an objective point of view, or try to as much as we can in this field where not very much is provable or disprovable for that matter. And so I wanted to take a look at this topic, compelling evidence for life after death, from a more of an objective point of view rather than just one that's faith-based. And I'm going to cover 5 different arguments, if you will, for evidence of life after death. And they are the survival hypothesis, deathbed visitations, near-death experiences, shared death experiences, psychic and paranormal phenomena. Those are the 5 areas. We're also going to discuss the implications of life after death. Now, if you have any questions, you can certainly type them in the chat room. And since it is virtually impossible for me to speak and deliver this and still follow the chat, I'm going to look at your questions at the end of my little part, and then I will take those questions there and address them. All right. One other point before I get into it, you might have noticed that I did not list reincarnation as one of the arguments, and that's because I'm going to address that topic in next week's church services. That is reincarnation, factor reality. So let's examine some of these different hypotheses or these different arguments for life after death. And as we do, it's kind of, I guess I'm going to kind of take you through my thought processes, because up until recently, I really didn't quite know where I stood on this topic of life after death. Obviously, growing up thinking that death is just non-existence, and then changing my viewpoints over the years and having direct evidence or a direct part in understanding that life seems to go on, it still took me a while to come to this. And so I want to take you through the arguments that pretty much proves it to me on a rational basis. First one is the survival hypothesis. You may be familiar with that. The survival hypothesis is a theory that states that a person's personality and consciousness survive the physical death of the body. So therefore, the hypothesis offers that humans have a dual nature, that is, a physical body and an ethereal aspect, or a spiritual body that includes personality and consciousness. There's some other names for it too, the higher self, the spirit, the soul. There are many theories around that support the survival hypothesis, and one of those is the first law of thermodynamics, which is also known as the law of conservation of energy. Now, that law states energy can be changed from one form to another, but it cannot be created or destroyed. Thus, the total amount of the energy in the universe available is constant. It's always the same. There's always that balance. Now, this law is supported by Einstein's special theory of relativity. You know that one, E equals mc squared. And Einstein suggests that with this law, that energy and matter are interchangeable. His equation also suggests that the quantity of energy and matter in the universe is fixed. It's a mathematical principle. So you have this balance of energy and matter, and they are same thing, only different, for all intents and purposes. So what does this mean to us as human beings, trying to understand the whole life after death thing? Well, it means, based on this first law of thermodynamics, it means that that energy that is us does not go anywhere, does not die, does not discontinue or exist no more. I mean, it's energy. It's got to go somewhere. And, of course, energy can be converted, and that's what happens all the time. I mean, you turn on your light switch, the electricity is converted into light and heat energy. So you can convert all the energy you want. You just can't destroy it, because the balance of energy in the universe remains constant. So this means when we die, where do we go? I mean, we don't just dissipate, evaporate. Of course, there's a conversion that has to be to a spiritual aspect, but that energy goes on. So the survival hypothesis is one argument for life after death, because the energy levels in or quantities in the universe must remain the same. The second argument that I want to address for life after death is what's known as deathbed visitations. Many people have had these. Perhaps you have too. A deathbed visitation is simply an event in which a dying person receives a visit from a deceased loved one, and usually in the hours just before death. Sometimes it's days, sometimes it's weeks prior to death. The purpose appears to be to comfort this dying person in his or her last hours. There's just a ton of these experiences that have been around. I hear them occasionally. I haven't had one. Of course, I haven't been near death either. And I haven't experienced being in a place where somebody had one. But they abound, these stories. In fact, in some cases, dying patients in comas have been witnessed to wake up in the minutes or hours just before death and talk to some unseen entity. And that's the way this usually works. These folks who are nearing death seem to become very lucid, and they talk to somebody that nobody else can see, and they have a conversation with this person, as if there is a person right there, but only they can see him. According to researcher David Kessler, speaking in the Oprah magazine, these deathbed visions can have some interesting and unexplainable features. And I'll read his list of these features. One is that the visions people experience at the end of life are remarkably similar. So you have similar experiences among a lot of different people. The dying are most often visited by their mothers. Not too surprising. You think, they were there when you came in, and they're probably going to be there when you go out. Another feature is when these dying folks, their hands reach out passionately to some unseen force or some unseen person. These visions occur most often in the corner of a room, often the hospital room, and those family members at the deathbed are not able to see whoever they're talking to or participate in this. It's just that one person, the person who's dying. These visions don't seem to be frightening. The folks who see them, these people who are dying, seem to be very comforted. You know, it's just not a frightening experience whatsoever. The benefit of these, which has been observed, is that a positive effect on the dying person, they're comforted. You know, they get that comfort, and they're looking forward to going to be with whoever they're seeing, which is another common feature of it. These types of experiences offer additional compelling evidence for life after death. And it's interesting to note, well, you know, maybe these people are hallucinating on the drugs and all the other explanations people come up with. But if you consider that even in judicial law, deathbed confessions are deemed as truthful. So there's one additional piece here of evidence for life after death. Okay, let's go on to the third one. We've talked about the survival hypothesis. We've talked about deathbed visions. Here's another piece of evidence which is dramatic and compelling in its own right, but I'm getting to the most compelling, at least in my opinion. But this third one is near-death experiences. Many people have had near-death experiences. Perhaps you've had one. And, of course, this is the case because of the advances in medical science over the last century. More and more people are being resuscitated after having died. And many of them, but not all, but many of them have reported these strange experiences while they were clinically dead. Back in 1975, Dr. Raymond Moody published a book entitled Life After Life. I highly recommend it. I've had him on a radio program before and interviewed him. He's just a jewel of a man. Well, in this book, Life After Life, Dr. Moody coined the term near-death experiences, or NDE for short, and it describes the features of these different experiences. Dr. Moody found quite a lot of similarities in these experiences, regardless of the person's background, religious beliefs, heritage. It didn't matter where they were from, what country, and of course, these many, many cases are unrelated. The people didn't know each other, so they couldn't have talked about it. According to a Gallup poll, approximately 8 million Americans claim to have had an NDE, but this figure may be underestimated because sometimes people are afraid to talk about it. They experience something strange and unexplainable. A lot of folks keep that to themselves. Now, there's a number of these traits that are experienced by those who have these near-death experiences, and here is a list of several. This is from the International Association for Near-Death Studies, which you can find on the web if you'd like. Their web address is www.iands.org. iands.org. You can find more information here, or there rather. Here's some of the features that these cases, as a rule, contain. Now, it's important to note that not every particular NDE has all of these, but as a group, here are what people experience. They experience intense emotions, commonly of profound peace, well-being, love. There are a few that are marked by fear, horror, and loss. We'll talk about that in a minute. Another feature of an NDE is the perception of seeing one's body from above. Of course, this is an out-of-body experience, but it's associated with death. They sometimes watch the medical personnel resuscitate them. They find that they can move instantaneously to other places. There have been a number of these examples where the person was actually watching the medical staff trying to resuscitate them. They could identify the instruments on the table next to them. There's been cases where people have gone up and found a shoe on the roof that nobody knew about, that they could not have known about otherwise. Somebody had left it there. So there have been some verification of these. Another feature of near-death experiences is rapid movement through darkness, often toward an indescribable light. And this is often associated with a tunnel, but not everybody sees a tunnel. A lot of times it can just be a pathway. It could be a trail in a forest, some kind of a path, some kind of a place that they go toward. Sometimes it's a tunnel, but not all the time by any stretch. Another feature of an NDE is a sense of being somewhere else, in a landscape that might seem like the spiritual realm or a different world. They also report incredibly rapid, sharp thinking and observations. It's like time changes. They experience a lot of stuff in a very, very brief instant of time. They usually have an encounter with deceased loved ones. Some have reported sacred figures like Jesus or a saint or whoever, even unrecognized beings. But they communicate mind to mind. And these entities seem to be very consoling and loving for the most part. There's a couple that are terrifying. Again, we'll talk about the negative side of this in a minute. Another commonly reported feature is a panoramic life review, where it's like there's video or pictures all around them, panoramic, of all of these things they've done in their life. And apparently they go through every minute, every instant, every moment, every thought, every experience, and it all happens almost in an instant. But they relive some of these actions, and they feel the emotional impact of their actions on others, so almost feeling it from the other person's point of view. In some cases, there's been a flood of knowledge about life and the nature of the universe, and sometimes they are offered the decision to return to their body. Of course, we wouldn't know otherwise. All of these who have come back chose to come back, or it was not their time. So these are some of the features of near-death experiences, and the thing that really strikes me is how do so many people from all walks of life, from all countries, from various times and societies and cultural differences, how do they all describe a very similar experience if there is no such thing as life after death? I mean, if you attribute it, like the skeptics do, to oxygen deprivation to the brain in the dying moments, or drugs, or just the effects of a dying brain, it does not make sense that all of these experiences would be very, very similar in nature, amazingly similar in nature. So the argument is compelling. These near-death experiences often have a profound effect on the person's outlook and life, and it's usually in a positive way. Some people even report an enhanced psychic ability after such an event. Many people do that. Now, near-death experiences can be either a positive or a negative experience, but by far, most of them are positive. It seems to have some correlation to a person's unique belief system, including their religious beliefs. For example, a person who's a Christian who has a near-death experience will see Jesus or something like that, whereas another person will see somebody else from their religious books and so forth. A Muslim might see Muhammad, a Buddhist might see Buddha, etc. Deceased loved ones are almost always present at some point during this. And again, a person's beliefs seem to have some effect on how they experience this NDE, because there have been a few, not very many, but a few who have reported going to hell or having some negative experience. And, you know, I offer that hell is a state of mind, and if it does exist, we're in it now. Things can only get better. Now, real briefly, what about the skeptic side of NDEs? Again, I mentioned that many of these skeptics say it's oxygen deprivation to the brain or the effects of a dying brain. But it's interesting. Dr. Michael Persinger, he's a cognitive neuroscience researcher at Laurentian University in Ontario, Canada. He's conducted a number of experiments using what is called the God Helmet. And it's got these electromagnetic field attached to it, and they are applied to the frontal lobes of a test subject. This has been very interesting, had some fascinating results. His experiments have resulted in test subjects feeling a divine or supernatural presence in the room. Very common when they do these experiments with this God Helmet. His research is interesting from our point of view because it seems at times to recreate the sensations of a near-death experience. Dr. Persinger conducted an experiment on a test subject who had previously also experienced a near-death experience. And according to this test subject, while similar in many ways, he couldn't say that the experiment using the God Helmet was the same as his near-death experience. In other words, he said it did not accurately simulate the near-death experience that he had. Now, we can explain this too. Yeah, we can recreate some different sensations, some different feelings by using such devices as the God helmet, applying electromagnetic fields to the frontal lobes. But just because similar effects can be reproduced in the lab does not necessarily mean that near-death experiences are not true. We can recreate them in the lab like we can with many things, but there is a difference between a recreation and the actual experience. So it doesn't rule out that some of these experiences, these NDEs, are real. So near-death experiences are a hugely compelling reason for believing that life continues on after death in a coherent fashion. Our consciousness survives. That's number three on my list of five. The next one that I want to talk about is related to near-death experiences, but it's even more compelling, and it's called shared death experiences. This term was also coined by Dr. Raymond Moody in his 2010 book, Glimpses of Eternity. Again, I highly recommend that you read that. Glimpses of Eternity, Dr. Raymond Moody. Fascinating study. The interesting thing about shared death experiences are that the friends and family who are around the person who's about to pass also participate in the near-death experience, the life review at times, the tunnel or the pathway that they're going to walk down. It's an amazing experience. In fact, Dr. Moody himself had an experience when his mother was passing away back in the mid-90s. In fact, it wasn't just him. It was his sisters, his brother-in-law. They were all standing around her, and they all, the room changed form, went kind of funky, and they all participated in this life review type of thing. Some other things that have been reported with shared death experiences, when the loved one, the dying loved one, actually passes, they often will see something stand up or get up out of the body, like the spirit. It can be a mirror image of the person. It could just be a light that gets up and goes. But they have reported seeing these many times. And it's not just the family, too. Numerous doctors and nurses and medical staff have all had unexplainable experiences because they're in that field and they tend to the dying. The most compelling and striking part of this is that you cannot explain away shared death experiences by oxygen deprivation to the brain or drugs or anesthesia or anything else, because the people who are sharing this are healthy. They're not sick. They haven't had drugs. They don't have oxygen deprivation. Shared death experiences offers evidence that is difficult, if not impossible, to refute on the continuation of the consciousness after death. Now, the last area that I want to talk about in these arguments is psychic and paranormal phenomena. You know, the question all along has been, okay, so our consciousness survives death, but does it remain coherent? Do we remain us as individuals with our personalities and our own memories intact? Or does this energy that was our consciousness just disperse out into the universe and scatter, kind of like a, you know, put another drop of water in the ocean type of thing? Well, we can get a clue from some of the evidence we've already discussed, namely the near-death experiences, the shared death experiences, and deathbed visitations or visions. These all imply that a person does retain that individuality, their personality, when they get to the other side of the veil, so to speak. There's other evidence, too, that relates to psychic phenomena and paranormal research. The late Hans Holzer, he was a pioneering paranormal researcher and author of over 100 books, documented numerous cases of individual spirit contact using a trance medium and a tape recorder. And many times the information that this trance medium would relate from another spirit would be verifiable, and it made sense. You could verify it after the fact. So, you know, these psychics are getting their information from somewhere. I do appreciate and grant that some of this information comes from the Akashic record. That's fine. But we're getting these instances where there seem to be these spirits that are there that are communicating psychically, that appear every now and then to certain people. You know, I've encountered spirits with individual and flawed belief systems. I mean, some spirits hang around, which we'll address in some other a future show, but they hang around. They have unfinished business. They may not know they're dead, as some speculate. Some are worried that they're going to go to hell if they cross over into the light, and they don't cross anywhere. They still have lessons to learn. So when you take all of these arguments that I've just given you individually, now, maybe they're not so compelling on an individual basis, some are. But when you put them all together, we have a compelling basis for believing that the consciousness exists, continues living after death of the physical body, and it remains in a coherent fashion. In other words, we retain our individuality. This really puts a whole new light on life and our existence now, in this life. I mean, what can we benefit from? How can this knowledge of life after death benefit us today? Well, here is some different ideas and some different features or some different points that will help. Having this knowledge is important to the human condition because people want and need to know what it means to die and what it means to be dead. We have this innate natural fear of the unknown. Well, we're uncovering this. We seem to go on. Rather than relying solely on faith, as so many religions teach, we now have a rational basis for belief in life after death. This should also help us tremendously with the grief that we feel with the loss of a loved one. They're going to a better place, as they say, but now we have some good evidence to support that. This also gives us hope. And you know, one of the big parts of human nature is we need hope. And now we have this hope. I mean, we have a rational basis for this hope. It's encouraging, but we should no longer hold ourselves back, folks. Life is about growing, learning, evolving, regardless whether we're in the here now or in the hereafter. If you think about this life right here and right now as being simply a chapter of a much longer book, it throws things in a new light. We need to make the most of what we're doing here. We need to evolve and grow and have a positive effect on all those people within our sphere of influence. Help them to grow to the extent we can. And, of course, always keeping in mind to do no harm and to even go further and to do right. We now have a hope. We have a rational basis for that hope. Even though we can't objectively prove it yet, we can rationally prove it. It has a sound rational basis for believing in that. Now I'm going to take a look at the chat room, and I'm going to take any questions that you may have typed in there, and I'll read them aloud. Kathy has a couple. One of them is a higher plane of existence. We may be able to state there is compelling evidence for life after death, but as to what plane it is, it's difficult to say whether it's higher, lower, the same plane we're on. I agree. We don't know that, but the energy would seem to suggest a higher plane, and higher meaning vibrating at a higher level, positive, that type of thing. Another question is, I wonder what a baby would experience if they had an NDE. How could they have a recap of their life? Well, rational thinking would suggest that they don't. Another question, Doug, what about the topic of spirits visiting the living relatives as a way of saying goodbye, like when they appear before the living person hears word of their death? That would be categorized, I suppose, in a similar fashion as deathbed visions. That happens all the time, too. And that's yet another compelling argument, thank you, Kathy, for believing in life after death. So all of these different things combined show us not only that we continue to exist after we die, our consciousness in a coherent manner, but it emphasizes that we need to make the most of our life now. Knowing that life continues after death means we need to continually grow and evolve here and now. And in this line of thought, we'd like to introduce our guest speaker for today. Reverend Dr. Frank Gaeta III will be talking about Earth School, the universe is your tutor, life is your classroom, how will you shape your curriculum? I'll give you a little background on Dr. Gaeta. He's an ordained minister in the interfaith. He has a background in divinity and theology. In his younger years, Dr. Frank was a professional floral designer as well as a master gardener in horticulture. He bases his thoughts on nature and the natural world, and is available for lectures with many interesting topics and media presentations. These topics include centering prayer, the sacred circle, earth keepers, and biblical botanicals. Dr. Gaeta also hosts his own weekly TV show on Cape Cod in Massachusetts called New Horizons. If you'd like some more information as well as to how to contact him, simply visit mchschurch.org, look for the church services link, and you'll see his information. Dr. Gaeta, welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Tony. How are you today?
Very good, and you?
I'm great. Well, to start off, of course, it's a wonderful day here on Cape Cod, and my Earth School lecture is based on my experiences with things of the natural world and helping people find their way through nature. And I'll start off with that people remind yourself every morning, every evening, to be a student. Everything that happens in your day is helping you to learn. And when you look at your day, you look at it as a class, as the outside, as your classroom. And where your classes will find that they're found in anger, some are in suffering, jealousy, illness, compassion, and lust. And as we all know, that this type of list can be endless. And some of us know that how many of our mornings start off with anger. And of course, on that commute to work or an unruly person in the store, but there's always ways to look around these things. The universe is our tutor and your classroom again in life. Everything that happens in your life is part of your own curriculum. And yes, we ignore a lot of this, but our classes take place over and over again, and some of us learn from them, and we pass them on, and then sooner or later, we all will graduate from them. And again, your lessons are just everyday existence. Now, your choices that you make are yours alone by becoming aware of your emotions. And what you have to do, you have to wake up your emotions and become a student of Earth School. In Earth School, there are no mistakes, only lessons. And these lessons are a growth and process of experience and failures, as much as a part of the process of successes. Now, these lessons are repeated until they are learned. And we just keep trying and going over and over again. And actually, your life, you can look at it as a canvas. And your choices are the painters. And you paint your own story. In Earth School, you always get what you want. Basically, sometimes you don't, but again, you just keep on trying. And in your subconsciousness rightfully determines what energies experienced and how they are applied. There are no victims in Earth School. We are only students. And of course, there's no right or no wrong, but there are consequences. And something to remember that everything you need to know you can find within yourself. And it's just how you go about finding these things. And thoughts are forms, things, and words are forms. Thought is energy and light, and how it has been shaped by consciousness. Again, energy continually flows in and through you. You give that energy form with your thoughts, your feelings, how you behave, and your actions and the way you live your life. Now, a person creates their own reality with their own intentions, and of course, their own attentions as well. With spiritual faith, your heart and mind open and guide you in your search for personal truth. Now, faith is the spirituality of life, and this is what makes your spiritual path possible. Now, with spiritual faith open, you should always have an open heart and a mind. Now, we can discover more about today and what it means to humanity. We are all individuals with our expressions of infinite beings, sources, and infinite consciousness. We are all here to experience life and what it has to offer us. Now, each of us are unique beings, and our purpose on Earth is to experience life from our own perspectives. We are the eyes and ears and the protectors of Earth. And so many people have a problem with this or understanding that what the Earth is and what it's all about and how we really need to take care of it. And actually, you have to start by taking care of yourself as well. Now, actually, in the Earth School curriculum, it's kind of a tongue twister to say that real quick. Now, when I do my lectures, I like to do a lot of them outside so people can actually have that meditative feeling of being a part of nature and with nature, experiencing the breeze, the sound of water, even looking at the clouds and figuring out different formations, hearing the birds, and just being, again, a part of the natural world. Meditation outside, especially sitting by the ocean, since I live so close to the ocean, just that tranquility, that inner peace that comes from the sound of the waves kissing the shore. Now, part of the curriculum for Earth School is actually to learn about a spiritual system that permits inner peace within yourself. How to do this just by meditating, which are part of my classes that I offer. I think meditation is a very important part. Now, belief also in one major meaning of life, and one aspect would be the oneself, body, mind, emotions, and soul. And the second part would be the world around us, what's going on in the world today, how we interpret it, if we want to be a part of it or if we just don't care about it. Our choices, who we want to be friends with, what we want to do, do we want to go to work, do we want to, you know, go to a movie. Relationships are very important, either a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, just putting it all together, that having someone around you, with you, is a very important aspect. Values are very important. Whether they're good values, bad values, it's all part of a fellowship with one another as well. Service, and even following a religion, whether organized or unorganized, it's not necessary to gain the benefits of it, but everyone has their own beliefs and how they believe in things. But to having the Earth School benefits are very important and just making you a whole person. There are some important higher powers and meetings involved in the creation of challenging life events. And challenges in our life, they're there to teach us something. These things are very important, and they help us sometimes, and sometimes they don't.
Now, there's a few excerpts from a book by Jane Roberts. It's called The Nature of Personal Reality. It's a very good book, and it's an interesting book. It's worth reading. And what it portrays is human existence can be considered a house with four rooms. So if you actually envision a house with the rooms in it, of course, and after reading this, I realized that this has almost a lot to do with chakras. If you know anything about the chakras, you can put this all into perspective. The human existence, again, would be your body, which is considered a temple in some respects, and we have to take care of our body, our mind, again, the one self, body, mind, emotions, and soul. Again, we have emotions, how our emotions react to things, other people, and spirituality, and it all falls into place, whether you believe or you don't believe, or how you believe. And free will, and the choice of how you want to believe in things. And if all beings allow themselves to clear their negative thought forms, the negative always creates blockages in our subtle systems. And through techniques available on our earth, examples would be breathing sessions, meditation, again. And with this, and as you do these things, you open yourself to a higher vibrational energy. And this will shift your vibration level to a higher level as more and more beings open their hearts and shift their vibration levels. They help the planet and everything and everyone around them can participate in something like this. So at my closing here, what I can just relay to you would be a question of which do you favor or keep unattended? But again, learn about the spiritual systems and permit inner peace for yourself and have your belief in a major meaning of life. Oneself, body, mind, and soul. So Dr. Kelly, I hope this was a inspirational message for our listeners.
Some very good information.
Thank you. And if you have any questions or any of the listeners have any questions, they can feel free to contact me. And I thank you for having me on your show.
Well, I thank you for coming, and, you know, I really appreciated your approach to this Earth School. You know, it gets down to the fundamentals, the grounded approach to living life, and all the things that you mentioned are excellent principles for living. What are you learning? What are you growing? That's obviously the message from MCHS Church is the practical life skills part of it. So I appreciate some of the things you said. Life is a matter of growing and evolving, right?
Exactly. And that's what I said. We are all painters of our own spiritual surroundings and how we interpret things and our belief systems. And if people really take note of nature, it's amazing what you will learn from it and how to learn from it. It's all out there, and it's for all of us to enjoy and encounter.
It is excellent information, and if you'd like to contact Dr. Gaeta, just visit mchschurch.org, go to the church services page, and his bio is there with his email address. Dr. Gaeta, thanks so much for coming on the program and sharing your knowledge and information with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly, and look forward to being with you again.
Sounds good. You have a great day.
You as well. Thank you.
Thanks. And again, coming up in just a few minutes at the top of the hour is Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective. a new program for the month of June where you can call in and get psychic spiritual advice. In just a few minutes, right after we wrap up this show, I will lead a soul light meditation for 5 minutes if you'd like to participate in that. And that will be followed by music up until the top of the hour when Dr. Vicky's show will begin. So today we've talked about a number of things, compelling evidence for life after death, making sure that you learn the lessons in life, that you're continually growing, that you are learning, because folks, this life is one chapter out of a longer book. And that's why, something I didn't mention, that's why suicide is not necessarily an out. It's not, you know, it's going to be the same thing, only different. We still continue to grow and to learn. So next week, as I mentioned, I will talk about reincarnation, fiction, or reality. If you like what you're hearing, I invite you to join us at Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science at mchschurch.org. If you would like to learn more about metaphysics and even get your PhD degree in metaphysics, visit us at themetaphysicsinstitute.org. And again, the domain is metaphysicsinstitute.org. That wraps up this week's program. Stay tuned for Dr. Vicky at the top of the hour. This is Doug Kelly encouraging you to listen, think, grow, learn, and live. Have a great week.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Power of the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated.